Well, who's been enjoying this series, Water of Life? That was just for comedic effect. I know what it's. Who's been enjoying this series? I've been enjoying this series, and you know, as a preacher, one of the things that I love doing is I love just sitting in God's Word. I've grown so much over this series, and this message here has been derived out of a time just with God. You know, that God's been talking to me about this and about this message, and it's titled Never Leave or Forsake. And for some of you who know a bit more about the Bible, that comes from Deuteronomy 31, where Moses said to Joshua, just before he went into the Promised Land, be strong and courageous. He said that three times. And then he said, just remember, son, you'll never walk alone. God will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's encouraging to hear when we hear scriptures like that, knowing that no matter where we go, no matter what we do, God will be with us. And sometimes when we read these things and we look at the Bible and we see some of these big hitters like, you know, David and Moses and all those, you think, well, yeah, that's applicable to them. And it's applicable, and it's good to hear, and it's encouraging to hear, you know, for them that God is speaking to them. But I want to bring it back today. I want to bring it back to what it means for us. I want to bring it back to how can we, ordinary people, do his work? You see, this scripture is an encouragement for us all. And I don't want to just have another message, but I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you that this is a call to action. This is a call to action that each and every one of us, that when we hear this scripture, that God will never leave or forsake you, it's a call to action. You want to activate yourself. In essence, to test out what this really means, to test our limits out. And I want to encourage you by the end of today's message to look at being a living sacrifice. We sung that today. I want to encourage us to be able to stand on the word, but then to actually put it into action. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
All right, before we go, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just say thank you. Thank you for all that you are. Thank you, Father, that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. What your words say in the beginning are continuing on today. Heavenly Father, we just say thank you. Open our hearts. Open our hearts and convict us to see what this word of yours is today to us, what it means to us. Heavenly Father, don't allow that word just to be another scripture for us to remember, but may it be a call to action for each and every one of us. Allow us to open our hearts and truly be a living sacrifice to you. Allow us to reach out and know in our heart of heart that you'll never leave us or forsake us. In Jesus' mighty name, and we all said, amen, amen, and amen. Have a look at this next slide up on the screen. There are two people. I want to try something a little different today. What I want to do is I want you, and no, that's not Catherine. Somebody pointed that out, but that's not Catherine. It looks like her. I just want you to have a look at, just choose one of these two people, and I want you to picture this person as they walk through this journey. And I want to bring the story to you, the scriptures to you, through the book of Amos. Amos is, for those who don't know, is in the Old Testament, near the end of the Old Testament. He's considered to be a minor prophet. Now, minor prophet versus a major prophet, the only difference is the length of what is written. It's not because these are the A-grade prophets and these are the second class. No, it's all prophets, but a minor prophet is simply about the length of how much they wrote in the Bible. So he's a prophet, they call a minor prophet. There are 12 of them in the Old Testament. So I want you to picture one of these two people, doesn't matter which one, and just picture that person walking through this journey with Amos. And think, as you're going through this message today, what would they do? And the reason I'm doing this is because I want to engage us in the word. I want us to think how this would impact us. Because sometimes when we hear a message, the message may be great, but sometimes we don't apply it to our lives. And this is just a technique that I thought of maybe using to try and engage us even further. I'm not saying that you don't, but it's just help those who to think about the message a little deeper. So who was Amos? Who's heard of Amos, by the way? Three, oh, there's a few people, good. Amos is one of those people tucked away in the Old Testament, right near the beginning of the New Testament, a minor prophet, as I said. Who was he? You know, if I plucked somebody out of the audience, a congregation right now and brought him up, that's the sort of person that Amos was. He was an ordinary person. In fact, he was a shepherd. And what that means in the Old Testament time is a shepherd is somebody who normally can't afford his own sheep, so he's engaged as someone to look after them. He's a person just like you and I. He was an ordinary person from a small town. He wasn't rich or famous. He wasn't a Pharisee. He wasn't anything like that. He was just someone that looked after sheep. He worked for somebody just like you and I. As I said, any one of us could be this fella, Amos. And it says here in Amos 7, verse 14, he says, I was neither a prophet or a son of a prophet, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. He used to get some fruit from a tree, and he used to look after sheep. It sounds like, well, we don't do that now, but it sounds like any one of us could have been this fella, an ordinary person, but God used him in an extraordinary way. He said in verse 15, but the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. Imagine that for a moment. Just imagine Amos. Imagine one of these two people here. Imagine them, God coming up to you one day and say, hey, listen, by the way, I want you to go over and start prophesying to another nation. What would your first reaction be? Go? Someone said go? That's a super spiritual answer. What would us normal people do? Be scared, someone said, yes. Ask again, yes. What else? No, who said that? Amen to that. How many times have I said that? What would we do if God said, oh, listen, I want you to let those sheep go. I want you to put them aside and I want you to go over to America and speak to the president over there at the moment and say, God is not happy with what you're doing. Someone is going to get smited in a minute. Who would say, yeah, I'm up for that? Or who would say, are you kidding me, God? Well, apart from the super spiritual person over here, a lot of us are over in this camp, aren't we? We'd be saying, are you kidding me? God, hold on. I'm the one that tends these sheep. I'm the one that looks after these sheep. I can't afford to own them, so I'm out in the desert looking after them. And you want me to do that? But there's a great lesson in us as we dig deeper into this. He's a man that used to walk behind sheep, and then God transformed him to somebody standing in front of kings. That transformation anybody can have. If you think about this book, what does God want us to learn from the book of Amos? What does God want us to learn from all those prophets before? They address an issue. Here, God took a man, a humble, ordinary man, and through him did extraordinary things. Now, if I could turn the mirror over to you people, to everyone here, that's exactly what God's saying to us here today. He said, you might be tending sheep at the moment, whatever that is, whatever job you do, but I've got plans and purposes for you. And so as we unpack what Amos did and how he listened and followed God, we too can follow that footsteps. Because what I know is this, that when we read something in the Bible, it was for that time. But the example given there, the illustrations there, the lessons there are transferable over generation and generation and generation to today. We could all be that Amos in this story. So God tells him, I want you to go over to the northern tribes. What happened was the 12 tribes of Israel, the 10 separated from the two down the bottom. And the top, the northern tribe, they started to do things which, well, they weren't exactly kosher. They started doing things like worshipping other gods. They started to put down the poor in the community. They started to worship other gods. They started to walk away from God. Now, just think about that. That was the problem back then with Amos. Can you identify any of those here today? in a society, maybe God is calling you to be the next Amos. Because it sounds very much like what he had to experience, we're experiencing as well. And Amos had a message to them. He said, hey, listen up. Take notice. God is going to smite you. This is not from the Bible. This is my rendition of it. God is going to smite you if you don't change your ways. Who's brave enough to say that? Somebody's scratching. Oh, there's a couple of hands at the back there. I thought there was a hand over there, but no, they were scratching themselves. The truth is this, though. Would we be brave enough to do that? This guy was a sheep herder. God tells him to do this, and then he does it. And I always wondered what happened to Amos to get him from a shepherd to some sort of spearhead with God's message here. See, why did he pick Amos? Can I ask this question? Why would God pick you? The answer is, we don't know why he chose Amos in the Bible, because it doesn't say. But I know the answer to the question why God will choose you. See, there's different people in different places at different times. That's why God chooses you. I'm not at your workplace. I'm not at your workplace. I'm not at anybody's workplace. But God picks people out and he transforms them and moves them to where they're working. That's probably why they chose Amos at that particular time. Being used by God on the one hand is good, but on the other hand, who knows, it's scary. Okay, all right, some people have stepped out in faith. You know, when you hear that word of God and God says, oh, listen, I want you to go and tell that person something. I wanted to give them a word of knowledge. How many times has God said that to you? We're in church. Now, here's the real question. How many times have you haven't done it? Well, I could put up 10 hands. It sounds good when the grass is green and the sky is blue, when we're sitting in church and you're hearing a message, but when that practicality, when the rubber hits the road, when you have to get out of your chair, when you have to cross the room, when you have to speak to somebody, just like Amos did, that sometimes gets a bit scary. Sometimes it's great to be used by God when we can see the results at the end of the day, but traveling that distance to actually do it, it's a bit scary sometimes, isn't it? But Amos did it. And if he can do it, see, God's no respecter of person. What he does for one, he'll do to another. What he did for Amos, he will do for you and I. So let's learn, why did God choose him? Well, we don't really know. But the truth is, God can use anybody. God can use anybody. And the thing is this, Amos had to go and tell a group of people, change your ways. Have you ever noticed in the Bible that before God actually does something, he sends somebody there to warn them? Have you ever noticed that? You ever noticed it? Remember when Cain and Abel, in the beginning of the Bible, Cain killed Abel, and Cain was angry at Abel. And Cain, just before he actually killed Abel, who came up to him and said, hey, be careful. Satan's crouching at your doorstep. Who said that? God said that. God warned Cain that he was going to do something and he better be careful because Satan was at his gate, right at his feet. From the beginning of the Bible, God warns people about upcoming things. Ever heard of a bloke called Noah and an ark? What did God warn the people? Hey, his bloke's building an ark. You're going to be flooded. Repent, change your ways. God warns people before they do it. What about Lot? Have you heard of the Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot, same thing. God warned the community through Lot about Sodom and Gomorrah. They didn't listen. What about Moses taking the people out of Egypt? He gave a few warnings, didn't he? How many warnings did he give? A lot. A lot. God uses people to warn others about upcoming problems in their life. Before God would inflict or will do something to a group of people, he warns them. Do you think God chose Amos for that purpose? Do you think God would choose you for that purpose? Who says yes? Who says I'm not sure? Who says this? This is one of those trick questions again from this guy. I'm not going to put my hand up. The truth is yes, because if he's going to use Amos to warn other people, he's going to use you and I to do the very same thing. Before God will bring something on upon people, he has this loving heart, this merciful heart where he warns them. You ever heard that saying, God is the God of second chances? This is what he's talking about. God doesn't want to do that. But he chose an ordinary person to go and do an extraordinary job. He chooses people like you and I to do the very same thing. The very same thing. And the story goes on in verse 7. The story goes on where it says that Amos went to the region. He goes to the northern kingdom and he's about to speak to the king and tell him what God has told him. And he's met by this guy, Amaziah. I'm not sure if that's correct spelling or pronunciation. He's the priest of the king. Listen to this. This priest says to Amos, "Get out, you seer." The word seer is just a prophet. "Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah, the southern kingdom. Earn your bread there and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy anymore at Bethel," that's the northern kingdom, "because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom." Put that into perspective. A sheep herder, a shepherd, goes up to the northern kingdom and he's going to speak to the top bloke. He's confronted along the way. How many times do we get challenged when we have to do something for God? This guy gets challenged by the priest, the king's priest, and said, "Hey, go back to where you came from." And I love Amos's reply. He doesn't back down. Who would back down at that stage? I'd probably consider it. It's a long journey from the southern kingdom to the northern kingdom. I probably would have thought along the way, is that really from God? Is it really what he wants me to say to this guy? What about if I get killed? What about if I insult him? What about if I get thrown in jail? Who suffers from the what ifs? Amos would have had a lot of time to get up there. There was no Uber. There was no fast train. He would have legged it or he got on some sort of donkey or something to go up there. He would have had a lot of time to think about those things. And then the first opportunity he gets, he's probably on fire by now. "Yeah, God, yeah." And all of a sudden the priest says, "What are you doing here?" Those wheels get a bit wobbly. But he pressed on through. And he says, "I was neither a prophet nor a son of a prophet." Hey, this is not my job. See, the priest said, "Don't prophesy here anymore. Earn your money, earn your bread. Go and prophesy back down there." The king's priest thought he was a prophet. Hey, I'm just an ordinary bloke. I look after sheep and I pick some figs off a tree. That's what I do for a living. And he said, "But the Lord took me from tending flock." And this is in verse 15. And he said, "Go prophesy to my people, Israel." The priest didn't back down either. The priest turned around to him and said, "Now then," after that, he said, "Now then, hear the word the Lord you say." So now this is Amos speaking back to the priest. "Listen to what you've just said to me. You said to me, don't prophesy here in Israel. Stop preaching against the descendants of Isaac." This is what Amos, the sheep herder, the fig plucker, this is what he says to the priest. He's confronted and then he says this, "Therefore, this is what the Lord says." He invoked the name of God. He said, "Hey, you might come at me with those words, but I represent our Heavenly Father. You might come at me with those threats. You might come at me at those with your authority, your position, your title, but I come to you in the name of God. I know that I'm confident in God, and I come to you in the name of God." And that's what we need to do when we are told by God to do something, have the confidence to be able to step out. And this is what he said to that priest. He said, "Your wife will become a prostitute in the city." Woo! where did he come back from? And your sons and daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be measured and divided up, and yourself will die in a pagan country, and Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land. Are you kidding me? Hey? He just smashed this guy. How did he get so much confidence? How was he so bold? What did he do, this sheep herder? How did he become like that? I want to be like Amos. I want to be like Amos. I want to speak with that power and authority. He met challenges without wavering. I want to be like him and speak the word God gave him. And then when rebuked, I could then in authority and power speak back to the situation. Who wants to be Amos like to be Amos like me? Man, the thing is, you can be. The thing is, God's calling you to be. The thing is, we just need to understand about our relationship. I've got to ask this question. Are we meant to bring prophetic words like Amos here today? Let me rephrase that. Another way of saying this. Are we here to help people who once had a relationship with God and ask them to return? Yes. Are we here to help people who are misguided, lost, fallen into addictions or any other sin? Are we here to help people like that? Yes. Amen, we are, yes. Are we here to help people who need direction in life, people who are hurt, who are suffering? Are we here to help people like that? Absolutely. Another way of saying, are we to bring prophetic words here today? Yes, we are. Some people say the prophetic ministry was Old Testament and it's not a New Testament thing. I can say this categorically that yes, we are to bring those words, words of correction, word of guidance, word of uplifting. Absolutely. And if you're not convinced by that, open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 14:5 and it says this. This is Paul speaking, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. This is Paul speaking in the New Testament. He's saying, I'd rather have you prophesy. It goes on to say, the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so the church may be edified. He's saying here, we all need to prophesy. And what does the word prophesy mean? Bring the word of God to somebody else. Because I can tell you now, there is people that are needy, people that are hurting in the community. We need to take these words that God will never leave or forsake us, as I said before, as a challenge, to be able to step outside our boundaries, to be able to say yes, to be able to put ourselves second and others first. The word of God is something that needs to be living inside of us so we become a living sacrifice. This is the key. How do we do what Amos did? If you could put the next slide up. How do we do what he does? These scriptures here are the key. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13 and 4. It says here, Paul speaking again, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. See, that's how we are to communicate to other people. That's how we are to be able to talk to others in need. It's not just from the flesh side of things, but it's the spiritual side of things that we need to understand. He's saying through spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. Verse 4 is exactly the same as what verse 13 says. It says down the bottom there, but in a demonstration of spirit and power. The difference is that we need to get out of our flesh and move into the spirit. We need to stop thinking and saying things that we think are okay. We need to dig deep into the well of what the Holy Spirit says and use those words. That's what Paul says to the Corinthians here, and that's what Amos was doing here. He spoke the words of God over somebody. You see, he had a connection before he did his purpose in life. We need to understand that unless we have that connection with God, what we're doing is we're speaking out of the flesh. That's why I love that scripture, Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is active and alive, sharper than a two-edged sword, being able to split the soul from the spirit, the flesh from the spirit. See, the word of God, when what they're talking about here in verse 13 about combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words, here's a bunch of spiritual words right here. We don't have to go too far to get these words. And if you don't have a Bible, there's millions of them online. See, that's what Paul is saying here. For us to be at Amos, we need to have a connection first and then to do the purpose. See, if you have a purpose in life and you do it out of your own strength, what happens? You can do it for a while, but I tell you what, it can get pretty tough. But when you've got the source of life giving you vitality, when you've got the source of life giving you the words to say, when you've got the source of life to confront obstacles and go through those things, that's when we will achieve all that God's called us to achieve. We can be that Amos going into the communities of around us and to be able to say to people, to help people, to guide people. Paul is saying the keys here are to have spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. This series is about getting our spirit to connect with the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to talk to us and allow us to be guided by the Spirit and not the flesh. Everything is about this particular point. I want you to look at it like this. What if Jesus walked through the door right now? The actual Jesus walked through the door right now. Would you like to hear the preacher speak? Or would you like to hear... That was a bit quick from that back corner. Or would you like to hear Jesus speak? Of course we want to hear Jesus. I would sit down faster than that. I'd pull out my phone. I'd be recording every word that he said because I wanted to hear that. See, we have to realize that within us, it's no longer I that lives, but who? Christ that lives within. When we say yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and we believe it in our heart, we have the Holy Spirit joining us. We have Christ in our lives. Why would we listen to a preacher when we have the Son of God right here? Why would we listen to the flesh when we have the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ? Christ had to go so the Spirit could be sent. The Bible says it's Christ's Spirit within us. We need to this is so important to understand. It's not us, but it's Christ. And Amos is an example of somebody who connected to God first and then was able to do what he was called to do. If I just have the team up, please. The next slide says, we are called to be willing, be ready, be faithful. We need to be willing to put others first. We need to be willing to say yes to God. We need to be connected to God, but we need to be faithful to do what he's called us to do. Amos is an example of somebody that wasn't a theologian, wasn't a Pharisee, wasn't anything like that, but he had a willingness to say yes, a willingness to connect to God, to allow him to be able to help us, teach us, guide us. And be faithful to what we do. We do need to become that living sacrifice, that call to action in life, not to sit on the sidelines, but to actually get into what God has called us to do. Will he call you to prophesy? Absolutely. He was an ordinary man doing extraordinary things when empowered by God. Amos spoke with God's power and authority because he knew who he was in Christ or in God. And he knew he was called to do that. Can I just put this next slide up, this last slide? These are some of the people from an organization called Transformations. These aren't pictures from the internet. They're not pictures that you get some photographer to take. These are real life people. These people have had issues in their life. Drugs, alcohol. Each and every person. Was rescued because of a modern day Amos. Each and every one of those lives were on a track. Some of them were in jail. Their lives destroyed. Families lost. Children never seen for years until somebody just reached. That's why this is so important. Those seven people up there represent our community. How many people that you know that could be put up on that screen? How many people that you may have gone through it yourself be willing, be ready, be faithful. When God calls you to do something, step out in faith. Your purpose is after your connection. We've all heard that story about the starfish and little boy throwing the starfish back in the sea. And the guy says, what are you doing that for? There's millions of them on the beach. It's pointless. It's hopeless. It's useless. And the little boy said, not for this one, as he threw it back. We too can be an Amos. When we hear this word, I'll never leave or forsake you. Take that as a challenge to say yes and amen. I'm going to look through your eyes, God. I'm going to listen through your ears, God, and I'm going to act how you would have me act. I want to be a living sacrifice here today. Starting today, God wants us to be his hands and feet. Starting today, let's make a life, let's make a difference in somebody's life. Can we stand as we finish in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for what Amos was. I thank you, Father, that he was a man of God. I thank you, Father, for who he was. I thank you, Father, that through him, lives were changed. But I thank you, Father, for the lesson that he gave us. I thank you, Father, that you will never leave or forsake us. I thank you, Father, that when we become one with you, when we become connected with you, that through that, lives can be changed. Heavenly Father, I just say, I pray today, use us, Father. Use us in ways that we haven't been used before. Stretch us, Father. Allow this word today to be a challenge to our lives. Allow this word today to resonate within us so we can be that living sacrifice, so we can save that one. We can save the one that's away from you, that the one that needs help from addictions or whatever it is, that I've lost and that are lonely. Help us, Father, to be your hands and feet in this time and season. Don't allow this message, Heavenly Father, to be just another message, but allow it to quicken our hearts. Allow us to say yes and amen. Allow this to be a call to action, that today was the day that we placed your word on our heart and we looked externally, not internally. In Jesus' mighty name, and we say, amen.